Good morning, everybody. Good to see you in the Lord's house today. Good to be here. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Thankful for the opportunity. Just trust the Lord. Help us today, and that He may be pleased. Again, it would be our great desire to bring glory unto the Lord. I think that's foremost in our Christian life. The Bible said, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. I believe that's right. And when we fail to do that, then we have failed. I invite you to go with us in the book of Romans, chapter number 3. The book of Romans, chapter number 3. You pray for us today that God would help us as we try to say a few things for the glory of God. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture. Then we're going to go back and look at the majority of this chapter as the Lord permits His will to be done. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 24. Very familiar scripture this morning, very familiar text. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Well, I give God glory and praise for this great truth this morning. And as we look here in Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome, he's going to take really several chapters and he's going to deal with the subject of justification or being justified. I think it's very important. Paul thought it very important to the church as he stressed these truths, and we trust the Lord to help us today as we try to make mention of some of these things as well. But we understand that the word justification simply means, to put in a nutshell, to make just or to make right or to declare righteous. That's important because man is not righteous until God has declared him righteous. Now, we see here throughout chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, he continues on and on, the message of justification. It's a great message. It's not something, friend, that you can really just mention it at a single point in time, a single verse, and it be sufficient. But justification is a great work of God. And then we see here in verse 24, also the man of justification. The Bible said being justified freely by His grace. What a message that is. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Everything that we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, salvation, friend, is not in a plan. Salvation's in a person. That person is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why salvation is personal. That's why He is called a personal Savior. That's why we enter into a relationship with God. I'm thankful for that, to be a child of God, to be a son of God, present tense, and we give God glory and praise. But as we look here at these scriptures this morning, we're asking the Lord to help us, His will to be done. I want to say some things this morning about justification. I'd like to look, first of all, at the guilt of mankind. As we consider, I'm just going to begin here in verse number 9. Paul's much to say to the church here. But he said, what then? Are we better than they? And no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. And he's simply just letting them know that it makes no difference for him. If you were born Jew, if you were born Gentile, what your pedigree may be, what claims you may have, who your family is, the fact of the matter is that we're all born under sin. As a matter of fact, in chapter 5, he said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. We know that that one man was Adam. We understand Adam's transgression. He did it willfully. Friend, and because of that, the human race was plunged into sin, and the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we began to recognize the guilt of all mankind. Man is guilty before God. One of the biggest problems with mankind is man tries to justify themselves by themselves.
Paul taught the Corinthians how that if we compare ourselves by ourselves, we're not wise. And the majority of people do that. If they're not careful, they try to stack themselves up beside someone else. Oftentimes, they'll look to someone who's not doing as good as they do. Amen. And they try to justify themselves then by the works of their own flesh, by the things that they do. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Man's never been justified by the works of the flesh, nor will man ever be justified. You're not made just by what you do, nor are you kept just by what you do. And that's also an important truth that some people have erred. But as we begin to see here, we see this great declaration here. And he said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're altogether gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And so I think that's pretty cut and dry. One thing's for sure, friend, God meant what he said and said what he meant. Amen. And he hasn't changed his mind on anything that he said. The Bible tells us here, as it is written, it's amazing to me what the apostle's done. He's taken this New Testament truth to a New Testament church, and he's gone back now into the Old Testament to signify or to make solid these great truths. And that's what he's done here. And he says, as it is written, in other words, it's already been written. This is not something new. Man, this is something they've had. This is something that they are already aware of. As is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. The Bible said there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Well, I found myself there. And I appreciate the Lord showing me that I was, friend, in verse number 10 here, that I was not righteous. Because at one time I felt like I was as good as the next man. Thank God for the day when I realized there was nothing good about me. Now the Bible said it's written there's none righteous, no, not one. And what he did was he went over in the book of Psalms. I'll share just a couple of things, and I'm not going to read all these. Don't you consider what the Bible has to say. Now the Bible, as he concludes these great truths here, but in Psalms and number 14, the Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now think about this. The fool hath, and there are some that do. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Amen. Now, as he begins to nail these truths down, he said, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. What he's letting us know here in the scripture is that if it wasn't for God and the workings of God and the goodness of God and the grace of God, none of us would be saved. Why is that? The Bible said there's none that understand. The salvation does not come through education. That's not how a man's saved. We're not educated into salvation. Salvation is a divine revelation from the Lord himself. God doesn't reveal it. Man won't ever see it. The Bible said there's none that understands. You cannot figure this thing out. God has to give you knowledge of sin and knowledge of salvation. The Bible said there's none that seeketh after God. Now, sometimes we say things like this, when I found the Lord or when I was looking for God, and I kind of understand what people are saying, but Brother Robert, had God never moved toward me, I would have never moved toward God. If the Lord had not created a hunger in me for him, I'd have never wanted him. You got to understand that it's God that does that. God is the initiator of all things, not just some things. See, if there was no good in us, then goodness had to be instilled in us. Amen. I appreciate truly salvation's of the Lord. I give God glory. Thank God. I appreciate the Lord. The Bible said there is none that understand. There's none that seeketh after God. And I just believe what God said. He said nobody. Amen. He goes on to say, they are all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And so he has just kind of nailed this great truth down. He's made this great decoration. What Paul is doing is, Paul is building the case. Amen. He wants folk to know he's building this case. For some that would say, well, I'm not that bad. The fact of the matter is, there's no goodness in you, not outside of Christ. And you realize, friend, any goodness in us now came from God. Amen. Any righteousness in us, it come from God. Amen. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord. That's so important to understand. And so he gives this great declaration. Now, he'll take it a step farther as he builds this case concerning justification, the need for justification, where justification comes from. And he begins to describe man's guilt or the problem with man. Now, this is what he begins to say in verse number 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Is that not right? Brother, can we not see it? Have we not been guilty of it? Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. And the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Verse 13, he will go back in Psalms chapter 5, and he will take these truths that are already written, and he'll bring these truths to light as he presents these truths to the church. Then in verse number 14, he will go to Psalms chapter number 10, and he talks about these different things here and how their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. And then he will kind of change gear and go to the book of Isaiah. And he said in verse 15, and their feet are swift to shed blood. As I began to read these scriptures, this seems like something, friend, that's happening today. Not back in Paul's day. But the problem is, friend, man's the same always. Man has a depraved nature. And because of man's depraved nature, these are what happens and is produced because of that nature. The Bible goes on to tell us destruction and misery are in their ways. My soul, that's where man is. And so we begin to understand that there's none good, no, not one. Be careful about measuring your goodness or thinking more highly of yourself than what you ought to. I want to do right, and I'm sure you want to do right. But, friend, as I do that, I realize it's God enables me to do it. And then if any boasting can be done, it cannot be in myself, but it must be in God who has enabled me. If there's any righteousness to be seen in me, friend, that righteousness came from God. What can I say but to God be the glory? And friend, the justification that I have enjoyed and enjoy today is not anything, friend, of my own merit, but it's what God gave me. It's what God did for me. And I appreciate that. And I think what happens sometimes is that we forget about all these things that God did. And when we forget about these things and we begin to look to ourselves as if maybe we had a part in this, but we had no part. And when we realize it's totally of God, I believe, friend, that's when the love toward our Father is like it needs to be. See, the one who's been forgiven most loves most. Amen. When we realize, friend, that we were undone without God, and yet God did all these things for us, that causes us to love Him. And friend, love should be the motivating factor in our lives. And you realize, friend, that when the love is right, really everything else is right. When there's right love, there'll be faithfulness. There'll be commitment. There'll be all these things because love is the motivating factor. And see, that's how it is even in our own lives. As couples, as married couples, when the love is right, there'll be faithfulness. There'll be commitment. There'll be trust. There'll be all these things there needs to be. Same thing with the Lord. But if we began to feel like, friend, that maybe somehow that we added to this or that it was deserved or that we merited it somehow, then, friend, that love is not what it needs to be. Now, I'm afraid in the hour in which we live, truly the love of many is waxed cold. Amen. How sad that is. The Bible said, in the way of peace they have not known. The Bible goes on to tell us, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. One thing that a lost man does not have is peace. He does not have peace. And no matter what he does to try to obtain peace, he cannot find peace. I appreciate what the Lord has to say. Consider this. I'm not trying to get way ahead of myself, but the Bible does say in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified, because that's what we're talking about, being justified. Therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Happy day, brother, when peace came. Amen. When peace, and I'm going to tell you what, friend, when you got born again by the power of God, I'm sure there's a lot of things about salvation you did not understand, a lot of things you didn't know, a lot of things maybe had not been revealed, but one thing that you did know about was the peace. Because with salvation comes peace, and it cannot be denied. Hey, before I was converted, before I was saved, I was troubled on the inside. But the moment, thank God, that salvation was revealed to me, and I trusted him, then came peace, thank God. That peace could not be denied. Thank God for the peace of God, having peace with God, and possessing the peace of God. Thank the Lord. The Bible said the way of peace they have not known. Again, the Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a lot of well-meaning people, but friend, the way they've chosen, friend, is not the way of peace. There's a lot of religious people, but really, friend, religion is just a man's attempt to get to God. Hey, man, salvation's God coming to man. There's a great difference. One yields peace and one does not. One changes a man's life. Amen. I appreciate the goodness of God. The Bible goes on to say there's no fear of God before their eyes. I've looked at this scripture. I'm sure that you've looked at this scripture down through the years. But I don't know if we've ever seen a time, not in my time, when people seemingly have no fear of God. I mean, truly, we're in those days. No fear whatsoever, not in what they say, not in what they do, not in what they think. These are the perilous times that Paul wrote about. As you began to consider that great list of different attributes of the day and how things are, there's no fear of God. That's why people do what they do. And I'm afraid, friend, that you see some of these things, friend, began to filter over into the modern church of the day in which we live. At one time, there was a greater fear of God in the house of God than what there seems to be today. People just don't fear the Lord. They've taken God for granted. But I'm telling you something, friend, God is still God. There ought to be a fear. There ought to be a fear for him. And I'm not talking about just being afraid of him, but in that fear is a deep reverence and respect because of who he is and what he can do. Amen. I appreciate the goodness of God, but I began to see the guilt of all mankind. And as Paul is dealing here, friend, with the church at Rome, as he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles and how, friend, that some tried to put a division between the two, and a lot of the Jews thought they were better than the Gentiles. He said, I'm going to tell you something, friend. That's not so. That is not so. The fact is, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. As he goes through and begins to do all these different things, we see the reason or the design, the plan that God had. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may become guilty before God. That's the guilt. Amen. See, the law was necessary. Why is that? Because the law made man guilty. If there's no law, there's no transgression. Amen. That's why there's speed limit signs. Amen. And if you don't obey the law, you pay the price. But if there's no limit, then you can run what you want to. You can run 25. We get behind those. That's not me, but I get behind those. Hey, man, you can run 95. And I try not to do that. But I've seen some that do. But the fact is, friend, the law is the law. And if the law is 55 and it's 56, then I guess I've transgressed the law. Isn't that right? And I can justify and say it's not much above the law. Isn't it right? But the fact is the law. But without the law is no transgression. And the law was necessary because for the law made man guilty. And the Bible tells us if we offend in one point, then we're guilty of the whole law. It's not just where you say, well, I've kept all the law but this. No, the fact is, if you break the law, you break the law. Amen. And so that's what he's saying. And so we consider these great truths. The Bible tells us also that the law, when Paul wrote to the Galatians, was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That's what it did. What the law showed man was he couldn't keep it. Amen. Only one person ever kept the law, Jesus. He fulfilled it. He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it. Amen. I'm glad he did because, Brother Danny, I couldn't fulfill it. I was a lawbreaker. But he kept the law. He wrote the law. Amen. Praise God. He did that for me and you, by the way. Thank God. And so we see the guilt of mankind. You know what's hard for a man to admit sometimes? He is guilty. That's hard. It's a lot easier to try to put that off on somebody else. Hey, man. And that's the way it was from the very beginning. Adam, have you done what I told you not to do? What did he say? Was that woman? It's that woman that you gave me. And in essence, he's trying to put it off on God and say, if you never gave me the woman, I wouldn't be in this mess. Isn't that right? Instead of saying, it's me, Lord, and I'm guilty, he said, the fact of the matter is, Lord, it's the woman's fault, and you're the one that gave it to me. And then she immediately turned and said, well, the serpent beguiled me. And they just kept passing the buck. What did God say? The buck stops here. Amen. And so that's the truth. Man has a great need, and that is simply to be justified. See, the law demands justice. You got to understand that. The law demands justice. And it's hard for a man to admit that he's done wrong. It's hard for a man to say, you know, hey, listen, I am the transgressor. It's me, Lord. It's not my brother. It's not somebody else. It's just me. It's hard sometimes to say, I'm sorry. What's the truth? It's hard. Because I've always got a reason for what I did. That's right. It's hard to say, I'm sorry. Well, I appreciate the love of God, don't you? You think about mercy and grace, friend, toward fallen man, a man who's not done any good, who's not capable of doing any good, who goes down this long list of different things here, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, misery and destruction are in their ways, and there's no fear of God, the way of peace they haven't known. Here comes God. I'm going to tell you what, friend, it's always been grace, by the way. It was grace in the garden. God didn't have to come walking in the cool of the day. Do you think God was taken by surprise when he showed up that day and Adam was hiding? Absolutely not. Amen. God was not taking, that was grace, friend. Adam transgressed and grace showed up. That's what happened in our lives. Thank God for grace. Amen. And so we recognize here the guilt of all mankind, but we also recognize the grace of God Almighty. Now think about what he's saying here and these different truths. He goes on to say, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And of course, Paul didn't mention that. Had he not known the law, he had not known sin. He talked about how the Bible said, thou shalt not covet. And he gives an illustration in Romans 7. And then when we come to verse number 21, we begin to see the grace of God Almighty and the workings of grace. The Bible said, but now things are changing. Thank God for that. Amen. But now the righteousness of God. If a man likes to underline, that's a good thing to underline right there. The righteousness of God. I don't see anything about the righteousness of man, but he talks a lot about the righteousness of God. He said, but now the righteousness of God without the law manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. These things were necessary. They were a witness to this. Amen. They bore witness to this great truth. Thank the Lord. Even the righteousness of God, notice this, which is by what? By faith of Jesus Christ. And I do want to say this, friend. It was not your faith, it was his faith. Man needs to understand that too. See, if I understand the Bible correctly, and I am no theologian, but if a man is dead in trespasses and in sin, then he is dead. He is not almost dead or kind of dead or sort of dead. He doesn't have some life or a little life or just a minute a bit of life. He's just dead. Amen. In other words, friend, he had no spiritual life about him whatsoever. None. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. So that kind of nails it down to me. Upon all them that believe, there is no difference. By the way, it's the same. Same grace, same faith, same salvation. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No difference. I came short of the mark. By some men would argue, it doesn't make any difference if you miss it by a foot or a mile. If you miss it, you miss it. It makes no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as we look at this, we think about the grace of God. The Bible said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. We talked a little bit about grace. I've mentioned this a time or two. But I think oftentimes it's important that we try to understand in a greater way what these words mean and how these apply to our life. Because I think the more we understand about it, the more we appreciate it. The more we understand about God, the more we appreciate him. The more we understand about his love, the more we appreciate that love. Amen. I mean, he didn't love us a little. Thank God he loved us with everything he had. Praise God for that. And one of the simplest ways that we define grace oftentimes is unmerited favor. And that is exactly right. It is unmerited favor. But it might do a man good to consider what unmerited is and to understand what favor is. Amen. Grace is the source from which flows now all the goodwill, love, and salvation of God. That is grace. What a great attribute. And oftentimes we talk about the attributes of God and what is the greatest attribute. But grace has to rank up there at the top, and they're all great because they're all of God. Amen. Grace is the absolute free favor of God. That's grace, free favor. Not if you do something, I'll have favor. It's the free favor of God, manifested or made known or shown to or revealed to who? The guilty and the unworthy. See, Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Thank God for that. If he'd have come for a righteous man, I'd have never got in. Brother Robert, if he'd have said, you're going to have to be kind of good or a little good, I'd have never made it. I mean, I was at the bottom, at the very bottom, and I had nothing whatsoever. I was a debtor. I was bankrupt spiritually. Nothing to give. Well, I appreciate the goodness of God. It's the sovereign saving favor bestowed upon those who have no merit. I couldn't do anything for it. I've said before, it's the favor of God shown to the ill-deserving and the hell-deserving. And by the way, we deserved hell. I mean, we really did deserve it. I'm glad I ain't going. Thank God. I appreciate that, but I did deserve it. Why is that? Because I was a sinner. I was a transgressor. I was a lawbreaker. I was an offender. I was an alien from the out. I had no rights or claims to anything that God had. The Bible said I was an enemy of God and a child of wrath. That's what it was. I was against God, not for him. And yet here comes God with great favor toward me and bestowed favor upon me. And I surely didn't deserve it. As a matter of fact, listen, outside of the fact that he wanted to, I can't tell you why he loved me. Have you ever stopped to think why he did love you? And you that sit in here today that are saved by the grace of God, how many individuals even in your family are not saved? And yet you sit here saved. And it's not because you were better than them. As a matter of fact, a lot of times when you begin to examine your life, you begin to wonder, Lord, why is it me and not them? Well, I appreciate him. Bless his holy name. That's grace, brother. That's grace. That's the grace of Almighty God. I appreciate that. Thank the Lord. Really, justification originates in grace, for without grace you could never have it. Now think about that. Well, I appreciate the Lord. And we understand that really justification is a judicial act of God in which he declares those righteous who were not. That's good, brother. I was guilty and he said, not guilty. I was unrighteous and he said, righteous. I was unjust and he said, just. And he's the only one that could do it. And he did it, thank God, willingly and freely, showing favor. Boy, I appreciate God for that. Hallelujah. He talks about righteousness. And when you go through these scriptures, he begins to talk about these different truths. But he said, but now the righteousness of God. And he talked about the righteousness of God and his righteousness. And to be righteous simply means to be made right. See, we were born wrong, but he made us right. Amen. Boy, I appreciate that. Thank God. And Romans 4, it's amazing how this, he goes through and he draws out so many of these different truths. But in Romans chapter number 4, he said, and therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now he's talking about Abraham. Abraham had no righteousness, but righteousness that he obtained was imputed unto him, or it was set on his account. And God had it and put it on his account, which made him righteous. Isn't that what God did for us? See, if you looked at my account, it read zero. Nothing in it. But praise God, he settled the account. Sometimes we sing that old song, the old account was settled. Well, that's what he did. He settled our account. He imputed righteousness unto us. He had it. We didn't have it. Thank God, he provided it and put it on our account. Therefore, friend, when you look at our account, it declares that we have been made righteous. And I'm thankful for what God put on the account will never be taken off the account. Praise God for that. It's not like you're going to go in there and all of a sudden discover one day that it's not there. Brother, it's there. God put it there. And we know that whatsoever God doeth, he doeth it forever. Thank God. And it's not temporary, it's eternal. But see, God's an eternal God. And because he's an eternal God, he does only eternal things. That's why we have eternal life. See, you can't give what you don't have. Well, God had eternal life, and that's the only kind of life he has, and he gave it to us. Thank God. I appreciate it. Then he talks about the word redemption. And brother, that's a great word. Redemption. Amen. I want to thank the Lord, brother, for redemption being justified freely. Freely. Hey, man, you can't. I'm talking about freely, brother. By His grace. You can just keep going over, and the more you go over that, the better it gets. Freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We understand, friend, that redemption gives the ideal of to deliver by paying a price. There's a lot of different illustrations in the scripture, but nothing greater than Calvary. Amen. Nothing greater than Calvary. Brother, it was there the price was paid for our redemption. See, we were transgressors. Man was a sinner and undone and could not settle his own account or debt. He was a lawbreaker, and the law demanded justice. And all we could do was cry guilty. That's all we could do. But thank God Jesus came to pay the price and satisfy the debt. That's what He did. He satisfied it. He paid it in full. That's why the Bible said the just for the unjust. That's what He did. Well, I appreciate the Lord for that. It means to purchase out of the slave market. And there was not a man or a woman in here that saved that was not a servant to sin. People say things like this, well, you just need to turn over a new leaf. Well, the problem is every time I did it, it blew back over. I mean, that's the truth. Have you ever tried to just do better? I'm going to do better. That never did last. Everything I ever did was temporal. There are things that come to mind, and even some of the old friends that I ran around with, and sometimes we knew we wasn't doing right, and we just made a declaration, we're going to do better. And that wouldn't last to sundown because I didn't have it in myself to do better. I didn't possess that ability. See, I was in total inability. That's where I was. I was a servant to sin, and whatever sin wanted, I did because I was its servant. Sin's a hard taskmaster. Oh, yes. There I was, undone without God, and here comes the Lord. And He looked at me, and He loved me. And He said, I'll pay the price. Thank God for that. Brother, that's wonderful that He would do that. I've seen folk, I mean, I've seen people, I thought, I tell you what, that's a good man over there. Then I look at myself, I thought, my soul. But the fact is, we were all there. Ground was level. It means to set free, to set free. Amen, to set free now by paying the price. And that's what He did. He set us free from the bonds of sin. Amen. I understand we have this flesh to contend with. I understand that. But thank God He made a new creature when He saved me. I'm not what I used to be. Thank God for that. The Bible tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Brand new. He didn't go in, friend, and just do a makeover. Amen. It's not like taking an old car and putting a new paint job on it. That's not what He did. God works from the inside out. Amen. He made a new creature out of me and you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Boy, that's amazing. I'm in Christ and He is in me. And He made a new creature out of me. Therefore, I'm not what I used to be. Thank God I belong to Him. I have a new nature about me. Thank God for that. I know I've got this flesh to contend with, and God will take care of that. Oh, yes. And one of these days, I'll be done with this flesh. Praise God. Amen. But I tell you, He made a change, a wonderful change. Thank God for the redemption, the price that He paid. Bless the name of the Lord. That was a great price, by the way. Illustrated all the way through the scripture. There's no doubt, friend. Listen, when Adam transgressed, The innocent had to die for the guilty. Is that not right? Blood was shed. When the Lord came through that night and the institute of the Passover and the Passover lamb, the innocent died for the guilty. Jesus was that lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. This was not an afterthought. This was the purpose and plan of God. Man needs to understand that. God's not trying to catch up and figure out what to do. He's working his plan. And, brother, he's working it perfectly. Oh, yes. I appreciate the Lord. The Bible goes on to make this statement, and whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. You can't get away from the blood because that's where it was. The blood was the price, and he paid it. Amen. Paid in full by the blood. Boy, I appreciate the Lord. Thank God for that. Willingly did he do this for me and you. There's no artist that has been able to depict what Jesus went through at Calvary. It would be impossible. Amen. We know that he suffered like no one has ever suffered. Friend, I'm telling you, as he even prayed in the garden, his sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground. Nobody suffered like Jesus did, yet for the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. I appreciate the Lord. He was willing to take our punishment. He was willing to take our judgment upon himself. Friend, and sin was judged at Calvary. When you think about the word propitiation, it gives with it the act of appeasing. I mean, something had to be done. And Jesus was the one who bridged the gap. Brother Robert, I couldn't get to God, so God came to me. Amen. Jesus took upon him the form of a servant and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And through what he did at Calvary, thank God, friend, I can now come to the Father. He is the bridge. Outside of him, there is no other. He was the one, friend, who was able to bring us into a friendly association with the Father. I appreciate the Lord for that. I want to thank God for his mercy and his love. It was the act, really, of regaining favor. The first Adam sold us out, but the last Adam, praise God, fixed everything up. I want to praise God for that. Bless his name. You think about the atonement, him being the atonement and having reparation for our offense. Jesus did all of it. By the way, all of it's in him, every bit of it. That's why the Bible said in Isaiah, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Not one thing have I ever done that caused him to say, I'll take that, I will accept that. Not one thing. But I'm going to tell you what, friend, when Jesus hung on Calvary, thank God willingly for me and you to give his life a ransom for many. Thank God to pay the sin debt that man could not pay. Brother, sin was judged at Calvary. God cut the lights out. We know it's in that time that he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you imagine that? What the Savior went through, the Father would not let the world see. But I do know this. After a while, the lights came back on. Jesus cried, it is finished. The Father was satisfied, not with me, but with him. Right. Praise God. Oh, yes. Well, I want to thank the Lord for that, brother. That's where the love ought to come from. That's where the worship ought to come from. That's where the faithfulness ought to come from. Brother, you've been justified. You've been made just. Thank God you've been made righteous in the sight of God Almighty. Amen. And he did all the work and then, praise God, gave it to me and you. Isn't that amazing? Jesus did not some of the work. Jesus did all of the work. And when the work was completed, then it was offered to me and you as a free gift. Hallelujah. You can't put a price on that, brother. A free gift. Hallelujah. Well, I appreciate the Lord, don't you? What a blessing that the Father would do that. And I appreciate him. I'll read a few verses and we'll be done. The Bible said to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth on or believeth in Jesus. And that's right. Somebody said, how's a man saved? He believes. He believes. Amen. Where then is boasting? I mean, he's making a point here. Boy, I like that. Where then is boasting? I believe when people come to the house of God, there ought to be some boasting, but not in ourselves, in him. When you begin to realize what he's done for you, how much he loved you, the price he paid for you that you could be set free, thank God, and the best is yet to come. I promise you, the best is yet to come. It's good now. It's good now, but the best is yet to come. He said, where then is boasting? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Wherefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of a law. He said, we run this conclusion. Isn't it right? Oh, yes. Thank the Lord. That's why you just have to say, thank you, Jesus. Look at what God did. Boy, I appreciate the Lord. The Bible says, is he the God of the Jews only? Oh, no. Oh, no. As a matter of fact, he informed Abraham about all these things. Somebody said, well, he just, you know, I tell you what, friend, this was the plan of God. Abraham already knew about all these different things. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The Bible is he the God of the Jews only? No, he's my God. The Bible said, is he not also of the Gentiles? And he answers his own question and said, yes, of the Gentiles also. It's amazing how Paul did it. Oftentimes, Jesus did the same thing. He asked the question and gave the answer. Why is that? So they'd have the right answer. That's why Paul gave the answer, so they'd have the right answer. The answer is yes. Oh, yeah. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, that's the Jew, by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith, that is the Gentile. Hallelujah. Amen. It's amazing how that you had Jew and Gentile. Now you've got the church of God. That's right. No division there. Hallelujah. Do we make then void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. I'm glad to be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother, the ground's level. Isn't that right? The ground is level. And the Lord's the one that leveled her out. I appreciate the Lord for it today. I'm thankful to be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Undeserving of it. But yet I stand justified because of what he did. And may the Lord help me to consider these great truths and love him. Because he first loved me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I appreciate God. Thank you for the opportunity to stand before you this morning. God bless you, and you're at liberty.